The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning he arrived again in the temple area, and all the people started coming to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they could have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. But when they continued asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he bent down and wrote on the ground. And in response, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. So he was left alone with the woman before him. Then Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, sir." Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." The Gospel of the Lord. I heard an altered retelling of our gospel from this morning. So the scribes and the Pharisees bring this woman who is curiously caught in the very act of adultery to Jesus as a means to try to trap him. Jesus instead turns to the crowd saying, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And then at that, a single, solitary, small stone comes wafting over the crowd, falling short and bouncing before reaching the woman. At that, Jesus turned toward the area from which the stone was thrown and said, "Now, mother." Okay, it's a fabrication, but let's get back to the true gospel. So what exactly was the trap which they were trying to set for Jesus? The Mosaic law, or the Jewish law of Moses, prescribed a penalty of death by stoning for the offense of adultery. So we see that Jesus was set up. Had Jesus not held up punishment by stoning, the Jewish leaders would have called him out and discredited Jesus for not following the Mosaic law. But by agreeing to the stoning, Jesus would have broken the Roman law under which the Jews were governed civilly. Roman law permitted penalties of death to be imposed only through a judicial trial. To the Romans, the Jews did not have the authority to proclaim a sentence of death under their religious law. But as we've heard elsewhere in the gospel, Jesus skillfully outmaneuvered the scribes and the Pharisees in his response. But that humorous twist on the gospel story does contain a theological nugget. Jesus was confronting the judgment being made by this crowd, which included the scribes and the Pharisees who were gathered around this woman. Jesus did not challenge the Mosaic penalty of death, and in fact, welcomed anyone present there to launch the first stone, if they indeed were free of sin themselves. The only ones free from sin were Jesus himself, true God and true man, and our Blessed Mother, free from sin from her Immaculate Conception. In the gospel story, we can sense the hushing effect this had. The gospel tells us that the crowd dispersed, with the elders themselves, those who best knew the law, being the first to go. Then, when no one remains to condemn the woman, neither does Jesus, who forgives her sin, but also implores her to go, and from now on, do not sin anymore. My brothers and sisters, we are that crowd that encircled the woman caught in adultery. Whether we are actively soliciting for her death by stoning or passively standing by and not speaking up, we do pass judgment on others, often without addressing the sins in our own lives. How easily could this situation reverse and have each one of us standing in the middle of that crowd for the sins that we have committed against one another and against God? But thank God that He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, not to judge and condemn us, but to show mercy and forgiveness, ultimately by dying upon the cross with each and every one of our sins on His shoulders. Sometimes this gospel is used as a proof text that Jesus forgives our sins, even our serious sins. That is what happens as well during the sacrament of reconciliation. But what sometimes gets glossed over in this text is Jesus' admonition to go and sin no more. That intention is contained in the act of contrition that we pray following our confession. I firmly intend, with your help, to do penance, to sin no more, and to avoid whatever leads me to sin. If we don't have that intentionality during the sacrament, then we really didn't approach the sacrament with contrition, and our absolution is not assured. The sacrament of reconciliation is an opportunity to put our past behind us. Just as Isaiah said in our first reading, "Remember not the events of the past, the things of long ago, consider not. I am doing something new." Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that passage. Paul told the Philippians to forget what lies behind and strain to look forward to what lies ahead, not through our own actions, but through Christ Jesus, to the goal of pursuing God's upward calling for each and every one of us. The season of Lent, our 40 days in the desert, is a great time to reflect on ways to increase the virtues in our lives, and also those times that we fell short. It is a fantastic and recommended time to celebrate the sacrament of reconciliation and place us in a state of grace to be able to celebrate the reconciliation of our Lord come Easter Sunday. For those that have not gone to confession recently, especially for those for whom it may have been a while our days in the desert are coming to an end, there remains opportunities to celebrate this sacrament. Our public confession times include Tuesday and Thursday evenings, beginning at 5 p.m. and concluding with the 6 p.m. Mass, as well as next Saturday morning following the 8 a.m. Mass. There is one remaining communal penance service in our local area, St. Elizabeth Seton, this coming Tuesday evening at 7 p.m., where additional priests join the priests of that parish to help celebrate the sacrament for those present. Please take advantage of these opportunities, especially if you find yourselves in need of returning to a state of God's grace to be able to approach the sacrament of the Eucharist at the altar. I'd also like to ask for your prayers for the large group of folks who have been journeying through the rite of Christian initiation of adults. They've been preparing for their first reconciliations in anticipation for their initiation sacraments at our Easter Vigil. We are blessed to have them in our parish and will soon welcome them as Catholic sisters and brothers in the Eucharistic feast. God's blessing for the rest of your Lenten journey.